Nothing but a good time when we speak with Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV on Thursdays, and we're going to do that momentarily. We welcome you back into the final hour of Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch saddled up alongside Mr. Matt Douglas. We are here until 6, that it's time for the Cobos Insurance Center High School Wrestling Recap presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. Tim Alcorn in the Chronicle-Telegram. Sean Bennett will speak with Avon Lake head coach Scott Peepers. And then we've got two girls tournament basketball games to bring you later on tonight. It all begins at 6:30 on Stream 1 and on the radio, North Ridgeville at Avon, and at Stream 2 on WEOL.com tonight, Westlake traveling to Avon Lake. At 7:30, the Cavs will have pregame coverage as they host the Washington Wizards. We are going to join that game in progress when our high school girls basketball games wrap up later on this evening. We head to the hotline and we bring in the aforementioned Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus. Dunny, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. You guys sound busy today.
Very, very busy, and this is just scratching the surface. We are loaded to the gills tonight, tomorrow night, three games on Saturday potentially, and then we've got Indians and we've got Blue Jackets on Saturday, and then in the next week we've got even more tournament games, so there's a lot going on for sure.
Sounds like us with all the tournaments and everything coming at you at once. It's a fun time to be in the sports, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, I want to get into the Olympics with you because I know you stay up until the wee hours of the night following Dunny on Twitter. It is always interesting. Now, I feel like I get left out because I'm not awake at those wee hours of the morning to interact with Dunny live when these things go on.
You didn't stay awake for the U.S.-Canada hockey game last night, the one that went to a shootout?
We discussed it about 20 minutes ago. We discussed that, so I was not awake for that, but we did talk about it at the very least coming down to the shootout. Was that your favorite Olympic highlight so far, or do you have some others?
I really like the downhill, the alpine skiing, and some Michaela Schifrin winning gold in the giant slalom was an awesome moment, but that was definitely a highlight. One of the few that the U.S. has had, along with the first ever cross country gold medal for the United States. That was also a great moment as well.
I have a question for you. While we're on the Olympic topic, you had tweeted at me a couple days ago telling me that NASCAR on skis or NASCAR on snowboards was supposed to play at 11 o'clock, and I was like, awesome, I'm on it. I actually had a high school basketball game to call that night, but I got home in plenty of time, and I think my fiance was watching White Collar or Bones or something like that, and
okay.
I had asked her to turn it off. She was watching Pirates of the Caribbean, and I said, can we turn this off at 11 o'clock so I can watch this NASCAR on skis? And she said, what's NASCAR on skis? I said, well, I guess we can find out. And then figure skating was on for the next 6.5 hours. And I was like, well, what's going on here? Where's NASCAR on skis?
Figure skating kind of rules all. It's the most watched sport during the Winter Olympics, that's for sure, the highest rated. And so they're not going to bump Winter Olympic figure skating for anything, including NASCAR on skis.
I watched it. You just had to go to the internet. That's how I was able to find it. I checked it out. Some Canadian guy ended up winning it.
Yeah, he definitely won, and there was some carnage at the end there.
The job that should be the highest paid is that one, the ski cross or ski X or snowboard X, whatever they call it. And then the skiing half pipe, for some reason, those guys cannot figure out where that half pipe starts and ends because every time they go up, I'm telling you, somebody comes down the wrong way. And because they hit the side of the half pipe, it makes the crash look that much worse because skis and helmets fly everywhere. The poor guy slides to the bottom.
It hurts, and I'm talking from experience with falling down after trying to do tricks. It's not exactly a good time.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, it sounds pretty
rough. Nasty.
Yeah, it sounds really rough. What of all the events that are remaining, and there aren't many because I believe things wrap up this weekend, but which event that's still on the radar for you is the most exciting or perhaps most intriguing to you?
You're going to laugh at me. I know you are. The U.S. goes for Olympic gold in curling tonight at 1:30 in the morning.
Wasn't someone just recently docked for doping?
That is Russian.
An Olympic athlete from Russia, someone from the OAR team, not the band, for mixed doubles curling was banned for doping and had to give back his bronze medal.
Yeah, bronze. He got bronze. Doping and curling for bronze. Yeah.
What does doping do for you in curling?
I have absolutely no idea.
Well, he claims someone slipped it in his drink.
Wow.
We'll go with that.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, you know, doping for a different kind of curling, I guess it makes sense when you're trying to build up your biceps and look like Big Papa Pump, a.k.a. Scott Steiner.
There you go.
Holler if you hear me. Nice. I know you'd get that.
The thing I could think is maybe Adderall or something like that. Remember when the Jacksonville Jaguars got hit on that a couple of years ago? That would make sense in curling.
I guess that would make sense. But, the U.S. going for gold, first time ever, it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, my guess is you'll be curled up watching that one tonight, right?
Absolutely.
See, I'm full of these today, even though Douglas tries to shoot down all my puns, but I think mine are absolute gold today while we're on the Olympic topic.
At least one person does.
Yes, at least one, right, at least one person does. Hey, what happened to the Buckeyes in the court last week? Two really tough losses to Penn State. That team really kind of seems like they're their Achilles heel this year, and then a bad one to Michigan this past weekend as well.
What did I tell you last week? You were thinking they were going to go 4-0 and come into this thing red hot. I said, beware of those emotional games. And Penn State was an emotional game for Penn State, sold out crowd, white out. And Penn State just has athletic guards, and it's a horrible matchup for Ohio State. And then Michigan, again, Ohio State had suffered they were down early, tried to come back, got to within one. Couldn't get the lead, and then Michigan pulled away late in the second half. But Ohio State bounced back nicely with a big win on senior night against Rutgers, and they locked themselves in a top three seed for the Big Ten tournament coming up next weekend.
While we're on that topic, only one game left in the regular season. It's against Indiana tomorrow night. Likely that they're going to be a three seed, as you mentioned, and I mean that means they're going to get a bye in the first round of the tournament. But who is it that they'll likely face in the opening round of this Big Ten tournament?
So right now, if everything holds true and everybody wins, they're supposed to win and everything like that, Ohio State would actually be a two seed in the Big Ten tournament. They would clinch a double bye and play the winner of the 7-10 matchup. Right now, that 7-10 matchup would be Penn State and Wisconsin.
Ooh. Ooh.
So Ohio State is not exactly looking forward to that. To that match. However, if Penn State beats Nebraska, which is their final game is at Nebraska, and if Ohio State beats Indiana tomorrow night, then Penn State would move up to the sixth seed, and Indiana would move down, and so you would have Indiana and Wisconsin, I believe, as your 10 seed, as your 7-10, and they would play the Buckeyes the next day on that Friday.
Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus, our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And so obviously there's quite a bit of flexibility. There's a lot of unpredictability the next couple of days trying to figure out who's going to be what seed in this Big Ten tournament. How many games do you think Ohio State is going to have to win in the conference tournament in order to secure a three or maybe a four seed in the big tournament?
In order to get a three seed, they have to win the thing. I don't think they have a shot right now getting a three seed. Right now, everything I'm seeing has them as a five seed, which is still, when you look at last year and where they were and your expectations this year, last year they were an 11th seed and lost on the opening day of the Big Ten tournament to a 14th seeded Rutgers. And now you're talking about the Buckeyes. And the Buckeyes could still win, could still have the number one overall seed in the Big Ten tournament with a win over Indiana and a Michigan State loss to Wisconsin. But where the Buckeyes are nationally is when you look at the NCAA tournament, you're probably looking at a 4 or 5 seed, more than likely flying out to Boise, Idaho, and playing somebody like a Louisiana, Lafayette, or a Vermont, or a Buffalo, one of those type teams.
Hey, being a five is not safe. You know how that big dance works. Being a five seed is about as dangerous as it comes.
Yes, sir.
I mean, that's every time you put a bracket together and you're looking to pick an upset, you got to pick at least 1-12 over a 5. It happens every year.
Exactly. It happens every year. or almost every year. It doesn't happen every year, but almost every year. And most times it's at least two of them, two 12 seeds that defeat a 5 seed. I think it's the biggest upset when you look at the tournament and seeding. It's the biggest matchup upset that there is.
Yeah, well, more motivation for Ohio State not to get locked into a 5 seed because nobody wants to be a 5 for that reason alone.
I think if Ohio State gets to at least the semifinals, they have a very good shot at getting and locking in a 4 seed.
Yeah, well, it would be a much safer place. Not the 13th, don't ever upset 4s in that first round, but I think there's at least a little bit more comfortability being a 4 than there is being a 5, given the history of the upsets in the opening round with that seed.
Bingo, exactly.
Kata Bates Diop, having an unbelievable season, does he have a real shot at winning the John Wooden Award?
If he does, he's got to turn it on. But I think these last few games that he's had, and he's been in some sort of slump as of late. I think he's kind of gone out of that. But I think he has had a unbelievable season. I think he's got Big Ten Player of the Year on lock. But the Wooden Award, I think that's probably going to the kid from Trey Young from Oklahoma, the kid from Villanova. One of those two will more than likely get that one.
Yeah, Trey Young's an interesting player. Not that we want to go too deep on Oklahoma players, but I mean, look, that's interesting because you're right. A lot of people look at him. He's widely regarded as the best player in all of college basketball, but they might not even make the tournament. I mean, there's a chance they may have to settle for the NIT.
Exactly. And, you know, when you look at player of the year, do you look at how he's helped the team? Do you just look at individual stats? It's really interesting when you break it down, because Trae Young, he can go out and score 30 or 40 points a game, but is his team winning when he's doing that?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Having seen them just a couple times this year, he's a lot of fun to watch. But
boy, absolutely.
But man, I mean, you know, again, that's they're a serious bubble team right now. There's a chance they may not make the tournament. Which, you know, I don't know. If he's the best player in college basketball, you'd think they'd want him on center stage in that tournament because he is polarizing, but it would be a bit of a hit if he's not there. We were talking earlier about all the high school hoops matchups on the boys and girls side. The brackets are set up here. A lot of action for us to cover over the next couple of weeks. What are some of the big hoops matchups down in Columbus over the next 10 days?
You got a few of them that I'm looking out for. Grove City has a big matchup on Friday, so does the Upper Arlington. I don't really look at big matchups as of now. I'll wait until we get farther into the brackets, you know, a couple games in, then I'll be able to help you out more with who's going to be playing who. When it comes to the OHSA tournament, I know the girls we're focusing a little bit more on the girls right now since they're a little bit more into their tournament since they play, obviously, a week earlier.
Sure, yeah, I saw UA, Jack Nicklaus's old school, the Golden Bears. They're up there in the state rankings. That kind of surprised me.
They've had some very, very good some good games and some buzzer beaters to win some games this season, especially from Dane Goodwin, who was a one-time Ohio State commit. He committed and is now going to Notre Dame.
Interesting stuff. Well, Dunny, as always, we appreciate you joining us. Enjoy the curling finale this weekend, and the next time we talk to you, we'll talk about the final medal count, and we'll get into what the Buckeyes can expect in the Big Ten tournament as well. Thank you as always, my man.
Yes, sir. Big Ten tournament next week's a little bit different. It's not the last week of the season. It's a week before, so it'll be very interesting.
Yes, no question about that. Donnie, always a pleasure, my man. Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, offering us some dynamite insight not only on Ohio State men's basketball and, of course, Ohio State football, but getting his feet wet in some Olympics talk as well, talking about some curling. You watching that tonight?
Probably not. I'm not a big curling guy. That one has never interested me. Everybody always says, oh, when the Olympics come around, for some reason I can't change the channel. I've got no problem. It's just shuffleboard. Fun to play. It's kind of like bowling. I'm not big on watching that on TV. It's
fun
to go play. Fun to go play, but as far as TV goes, I'm going to watch something else.
You take that back. No. Bowling on TV? Bowling on TV is awesome.
It's always on during the NFL. Let's be honest. Are you going to watch a football game or are you going to watch bowling?
You know what? These days I'd rather watch bowling.
Well, that's you. But usually there's another sport like hockey on during curling, so I usually check out the hockey game.
PDW, man. That guy's an awesome
Who?
Bowling personality.
That's a
PDW.
Person.
Pete Weber.
He's great.
He wears sunglasses when he bowls?
I'm Surrey Super.
Oh, man, you got to check out some YouTube highlights of that. The guy's legend.
Sure.
Absolute legend.